We are streaming. You done a.
Open up the
My VPN seems to have chilled out a bit.
it's done what, sorry? I
Chilled out a bit.
don't know what you're saying. It's
Oh,
peeled out.
chilled out. You know how we were having
Oh,
problems with
chilled
it?
out.
Chilled out, yeah.
That was weird. Are both you and Rosie using it still?
Well, we've been on holiday, so I think the last time she used it
All right,
was when we were having our problems.
yeah, because
But
that was odd, that was.
yeah, because my phone, well, my phone uses it, but it only uses it sort of like in the background. And I don't use my phone that much, and maybe there's like a limit to how much you can use it, or maybe like latency is affected rather than.
I mean, it really shouldn't be, but it did seem like that's what was happening, yeah.
But I think it might have been just like NordVPN's end, however.
Yeah, 7 and off off day or whatever.
I'm sure. I think it's happened before and it's just fixed itself. Right, where am I on the old Fediverse? Interestingly enough, don't miss YouTube at all.
Good. Yeah, good. Do you still use it as a user?
I use a different account.
Yeah,
So I've
right.
got an account like with zero followers. It's literally just for subscriptions, and I use that. But I don't watch that much YouTube these days.
You don't see, I watch a fucking ton.
I would if I guess if I had the time, but
Right, yeah.
are we actually streaming? Let's see. Yes, we are. Okay.
By the way, I don't know if you've upgraded to lately the we're on Arch is on the 7 point whatever kernel now.
All right, yeah.
And apparently there's big, I mean they often say this, but like this one seems like a genuinely big one. There's big sort of efficiency up stuff for our hardware, I
Oh,
believe.
okay.
There's a lot of AMD stuff and a lot of I don't mean efficiency. What's the word I'm looking for?
Optimization?
Yeah, like performance, more better performance.
Yeah, efficiency is a perfectly good word in that circumstance. Oh, I've got to reauthenticate myself. I've actually switched back to Firefox.
I don't think I could make do on LibreWolf. Just I know how much little stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, it is the. Oh,
I
do I
mean,
have
it's
to
going rough
authenticate?
on Firefox now that everything is just chromey, but yeah, adding an extra. Yeah, for the sake of a bit of security theater, I'm not bothered.
Well, it was security theater. That's a good term for it. Originally, it was the keeping the AI out of it that pushed me over. But now that there's the kill switch, then
Yeah.
and then it's fine.
I mean, I'm on Qt browser for 99% of the stuff, and then I just Firefox for anything that I know Qt browser is not going to be good at.
Yeah, maybe I should get back around to doing Qt browser.
I like Qt browser, but it's very much it's. What is it? It's not really the key. Honestly, I was going to say the keyboard. Like, I like the keyboard driven. That's not really what keeps me on Qt browser. I think it's just the way you can configure it, and it just stays the fuck out of your way. It's not trying to be all. It's not. The web page is the point. I think that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's kind of a bit. I'm sort of a bit using Firefox a little bit like that. I've got the vertical tabs, which I quite like.
Yeah.
Oh,
But yeah,
yeah,
I
no.
don't know. I was going to say I don't know if it's placebo, but it's definitely not placebo. But I don't know whether it's something that's just already been fixed that I haven't noticed for a while. But you know how whenever I streamed on Discord, it would make my game a bit choppy and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Since going on the 7 kernel, it doesn't.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's just just things gradually getting better over time or what. But yeah, seems nice and smooth.
See, we'd have to wait 2 years if we were on Debian.
Yeah.
I like Debian, and Debian definitely has its place, but that's a big win for Arch.
I mean, the thing, like, the Debian, you don't, I mean, it's a stability, isn't it? That's as in unchanging. That's the big thing. But, like, I run Arch on my laptop that's when I go to bed just for watching YouTube before I fall asleep. And I update that. I've been thinking about it. I think I update that about once a year at most.
Okay.
And obviously, it's probably insecure in some ways, but do I give a shit really from a bedtime laptop? Not really.
No.
So I mean, I think people always forget about the option of just don't update. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't really know what is the good Arch Citizens like update schedule?
I mean, I just update when I'm in a terminal and I'm bored, which can be 5 times a day on one of them kind of days, and then I can go for a month without updating, you know? So yeah, mine's very sporadic.
Mine too, to be honest. I did it last night before I went to bed, which was risky, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm always here. Yeah. If I'm tired and I do it before bed, I'm like, do I do a reboot just to make sure it still fucking boots? I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it in the morning. It'll be something fun to do in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I was working on, for some reason, when I came back off holiday, the thing that I decided to do was work on my backup script. Because I back up.
Yeah.
So I've kind of, I think I've got like, I've got three backup scripts. One backs up all my .dot files as they currently are into a little tarball archive and then put neatly away. So that just keeps my .dot files up to date. That gets executed on boot. Then I've got my backup for, I back up my home directory onto external media. And then I back up everything in the on the freebooter server to a folder on my hard drive as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, which that folder in my home folder or whatever also gets backed up. So it's a backup inside a backup inside a backup type thing.
Yeah.
But then I sort of realized that I should probably put in my backup script to my external media, it should probably check to see if the external media is mounted. Like, it mounts on boot in the fstab file.
Right, yeah.
So it's reliably there, but like, I don't know, you kick cables out and stuff, don't you? You know how it works.
Yeah. No, and it's a little check.
And I was looking around and it's like, well, apparently there's a chance that if you boot up and that's not there, rsync can just create a folder on your hard drive and then just start syncing everything into that.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I don't want to do that. So I think I did a bit of reading and I got to put it into play sometime today where it's not too difficult. It's like a couple of lines on a bash script where it just checks to see that it's a mounted partition and if it's...
Yeah, no, that seems straightforward enough. Yeah, there's probably a switch on rsync that does that, but rsync's one of those things where when you start looking at the switches, you're there for hours.
Just want a little check, like just to see if it's there. I could do it really lazy, which was what I was thinking, is just check to see if the folder exists, because it's all auto mounted, so the folder gets created and deleted.
Yeah.
But
that's what I was thinking. Like, why not?
Yeah, I don't know. In my head, I can just think that going wrong a bit.
Yeah.
If it doesn't remove the directory for whatever reason and whatever.
That's fair, yeah.
But there is quite just an easy check that you can do that I think it's easy. Where you just, you know, just a couple of lines, pop it in the bash script. Check to see if it's mounted. If not, I don't know, fail and run an error.
Send me an email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can do that, can't I? Yeah. I did have a look at having like an email inbox for freebooters on the server.
Yeah.
So it'd just be a catch email. Like, if we, you know, it would be easy to send out from, say, for our own emails because of spam catches and all that kind of thing. But I assumed that there'd probably be nothing wrong if we just had a bucket, an email bucket, where people could send emails in for both of us and we could just periodically check them as we want or forward them to us or whatever. But I kept getting all these like dire warnings from people on the internet. Spam. You're going to get shitloads of, you have no spam filter. It's like, oh, running a spam filter, that seems like work. Should I? Do I need to? Can I limit the inbox size?
Yeah, I mean, I've read that stuff from like the doomsayers, but I've also read stuff that's countering that, going like, no, they're overplaying this. Like, yeah, you might get that, but it's easy to fix, blah, 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 blah.
I can live with spam on a public email. You like, when it's private email, it's a bit more like, I don't know, I feel like they're inviting themselves into my home a little bit.
Yeah.
But when it's a public email that I check when I want to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can sift.
I get the odd spam on my post, you know, but it's like one a month or something like that.
Yeah. I think spam Postio has some kind of spam filter, but it's quite.
I'm sure. Yeah.
It's quite like, not basic, but you know.
Yeah.
I get a lot of on my public email. I get a lot on Postio. I get a lot of like, we've got marketing leads for you. We've got.
Yeah.
Do you want to try out some surgical?
I think I pasted one of those into the Discord the other day. It was basically saying like, your website could be improved. All right, how dare you?
It's like, you could rank higher on Google. No, I rank as high as I want to be on Google. Like, to be honest, it's fine. I couldn't... If someone wants to know who I am, they can find my way. Like, it's really not hard. I've tested it many different ways. There's not that many Chris Wares in the world. And It's I come at the top of the rankings for my name, and if it's not my name, it is slash was my YouTube channel or my Mastodon or whatever. Like, people can find me, it's fine. I don't like you can't, you have nothing to offer me, Mr. CEO person.
I fiddled with something this morning. I had, you know my movie rating thing that you saw the other day? I added bar charts for how many are in which number, kind of thing, at the top.
Bar charts for how many are in which number?
I've sent you a link. If you click on it, it'll make more sense. I'm trying to explain it with words.
Oh, that's cool. So you give a lot of sevens, you give a lot of ones.
Is that a
little bash script thing that you do?
Yeah, so it's just part of the bash script that statically makes this page. It's still all statically generated, but yeah, it just does little calculations and adds them all together. And I kind of like that. If you ignore 1 to 3, it's a nice kind of normal distribution between 4 and 10. And I kind of hate that 1 to 3 ruins that.
Oh, you don't like The Matrix? You gave The Matrix a 1?
I fucking hate The Matrix.
Evidently.
Yeah, not a fan.
Star Wars.
On any level, really.
Star Wars prequels and sequels? Last Jedi, Force Awakens. Oh, what, Rise of Skywalker? Or have you just not seen that?
Yes, I've seen that, yeah.
Oh, okay. Hang on a minute.
Did I rate it? Or I think.
Oh, no, you haven't rated it.
With Star Wars, it's pointless to give it. Just watch them all and keep giving them ones. Okay. I knew I was going to hate it going in, so it's not like I'm going to, you know.
I didn't hate it. And Solo, Star Wars Story, all Star Wars. Sneakers, you gave Sneakers a 1.
Oh, no, okay. So Solo, Sneakers is terrible.
Sneakers is amazing.
Solo is actually, honestly, my favourite of the modern Star Wars films. But at that point, I was going through a policy of, if I watch a Disney film, even if I like it, I give it a 1 on principle.
Inception, a 1?
What's Inception? Yeah, Inception's terrible.
Oh, I quite like Doctor Strange. I mean, I wouldn't give that a high. No, I'd give that like higher than 5.
What did I give it?
A 1.
Yeah, no, that's on principle. Yeah, wow. All of the Marvel ones. That's just on
Hang
principle.
Hang on a minute. Is there a way to order it by number?
Yeah. Oh, by top, rating. By rating.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. So the number 10s. I've not heard of any of your number 10s. Except the
you must have no, you must oh. have heard of some of my Carrie. You must have heard of Carrie.
No, I've heard maybe
Star Trek. You've heard of Star Trek?
Why has Star Trek got a 9?
Hang on, which Star Trek?
Oh, the motion picture.
That's 79. Underappreciated.
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon's amazing. Are you going to tell me Flash Gordon?
No, Flash Gordon is like mid. It's fine.
No, the costume.
Brian Blessed carries that film.
No. Brian Blessed is amazing in that film, but everything is amazing in that film. Ming's daughter carries that film.
I can't remember what Ming's daughter looks like. Is she hot?
Fucking beautiful, yeah. And okay. Dale as well.
Yeah. Knights, a Knight's this, Tale.
This should be a freebooter, as you just slagging off my movie reading. You know the Hunger Games. You know the menu.
The menu? No, I don't know the menu. It's Conclave, you gave Conclave an 8. Maybe I should watch that. Is that just because you're Catholic? Crank! You gave Crank High Voltage an 8. What's wrong with you?
It's a great film. Wait, are you saying it should be higher or lower?
Crank with Jason Statham.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Hang on, is that the sequel or the first one?
It doesn't matter. They're both amazing. That's the sequel, though. What was the one before that you said I gave an 8 to?
Conclave.
Yeah, Conclave's amazing, yeah. Did you not like Conclave?
I haven't seen Conclave.
Oh, you should watch
that. National Treasure, an 8.
I love National Treasure. I will defend that film to the hills.
Actually, I do enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
I might actually.
With this list, I'm trying to, like, there's no snobbery. If it's a little bit embarrassing, but it's an 8 in my heart, then it's an 8.
Stepford Wives, an 8? What? Hang on a minute. You've got recently. Stepford Wives at 8, but you got The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 as an 8 too.
Yeah, because it's not quite as good as the first one. I like the first Hunger Games the best.
The Stepford Wives is not a. Hang on a minute. Am I thinking of the remake that was like made in like the 90s?
Oh, possibly. Yeah. I've never seen the remake. I'm meaning to watch it, but yeah, I love the original since I was a kid. I love those 70s like Something's Wrong kind of movies.
You got King of the Hill at 8. I See, I'd be tempted to put that up at a 9.
King stuff like King of the Hill, it that can be anywhere between an 8 and a 10, depending on the day you ask me.
Yeah,
you
know fuck it, it's a 10.
I mean,
I think the question with King of the Hill is how much. I haven't seen the like the super new ones. How much are you going to let those bring it down because of the inevitability that they're terrible?
I think in the case of King of the Hill, I would just treat those as a separate thing. If they're horrible, it wouldn't bring the rest down for me.
No.
Same with Star Trek.
Crank is a 7. You've given Crank Fully Loaded or whatever it's called.
Did I give that one more? That might have just been... Because like, a lot of this is I rate movies when I remember that I've watched them and I might have done them separately. They should probably be the same. But Crank 2 does go... Crank 2 goes harder.
Crank
1, yeah, it goes a lot harder, and I sort of respect that.
Doesn't Jason
like
Statham's... Spoilers, but doesn't Jason Statham's face melt off as he's giving someone the finger at the end?
Yes, that is exactly the ending, yeah.
See, if you like Crank, you might like The Human Centipede 3.
based on your description of it, I think I might, yeah.
It's just, yeah, I don't know, maybe. Yeah, like I say, I keep meaning for Rosie to, like, do an edit of that film, but take out, like, the worst bits of it. 21 Jump Street, yeah, 7. Prince of Bel-Air. Oh, it's been a while since I've seen that, but yeah.
And to be fair, that's based on my memory of watching it in the 90s. Some of these I've not necessarily like rewatched them to check. Like these are just what my gut says, and I enjoyed it in the 90s.
Okay, I mean, I'm less interested in the 7s and whatever. This you've got some wild calls in the top end. Gremlins, yeah. Oh, Frost Nixon. Oh, I saw that a long time ago. You quite like that?
I like that a lot. I mean, I like Nixon a lot, and I like political things. So it's kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of made for me.
Except you gave Sneakers a 1.
Sneakers is... hacker films kind of fall into like 3 categories. The ones that are kind of like... Kind of accurate. Like accurate enough that they're believable. And you can watch them on that basis. Then there's the opposite end of the spectrum where they're fucking silly. But you can enjoy the silliness. Like Hackers.
Yeah.
And Sneakers for me is in the uncomfortable middle. Where it's not fun enough to take it like as a silly one, and it's a bit too silly to be taken as a serious one.
See, I don't. I mean, that you just said words there. Like it's fine. No. What you've explained the film relatively accurately. But then you've given it a 1. It's like you're those Steam reviews, which is like played.
That's fair. No, to be fair, no. I think that was my mood at the time. It doesn't deserve a 1.
Deserve a 1.
No, it doesn't. And also, I've not watched it for a very long time. I will rewatch it and I will reassess it.
French and Saunders gets a 1.
I fucking hate. I hate that kind of humour.
Have I got news for you? That's a 1.
Yeah, that's. I remember when that started out in, what was it, late 80s, early 90s, and like I was 12 or something. I found it very funny. Mm. And then it just got worse and worse and worse and worse over time, and more and more reactionary over time.
Yeah.
To the point where it just made me hate it.
Yeah, I think Ian Hitzlop is either a little bit, he's either too, like, he's a bit reactionary, but also a little bit enlightened centrist, you know?
He's. I don't mind him because you know where he's. I feel like this is, I mean, I've not seen him for many years, but. My read of him was his takes were genuine. He wasn't trying to appease anybody.
No, I didn't.
Like,
yeah.
So I don't mind that when somebody's genuinely. It was the other side that was a bit more upsetting.
See, the thing is, and don't get me wrong, I don't like hate the guy or nothing. Like I just find his takes very lukewarm and reactionary, to be honest. Reactionary in a centrist kind of way.
I think he's very like, almost. I mean, he's very like Oxford, Cambridge.
Yeah.
In a bit of an old-fashioned kind of way. And I'm okay with that. You know,
he is what a Tory should be.
Yeah. He's basically... Oh, who's the... I don't know if he's still alive. Kenneth Clark. He's Ken Clark.
Yeah.
If the Tories were that, I'd be okay with the Tories. You know, that's a reasonable conservatism.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I wouldn't vote for it, but I'm okay with it existing.
No. Would you put John Major in that classification?
Yeah, I think John Major got... kind of treated unfairly by the press and by this sort of position in time. As Tories go, I think he was a good prime minister and a relatively decent person.
Certainly the best Tory prime minister in our lifetime.
I think so, yeah. Not as in most effective, that's Thatcher.
Yeah.
Like getting shit done, it was Thatcher, but...
Yeah. Oh, Barbie. You didn't like Barbie. I didn't mind Barbie. I like Barbie. You gave that a 1.
That's a rating having not seen it.
Oh, okay. Honestly, all right, fine.
It's the only one on there that I haven't seen, and I know I'm going to hate it. I'm just getting around to
You probably would hate it. I'm not going to be like, even though I enjoyed it and you didn't, because it's a little bit culture warsy, and I know that stuff will probably like super get under your skin.
Somebody summarized that as Barbie prevents a slave revolt. my understanding of it is quite funny.
It is. Like, I think what's interesting about the film is that it can be interpreted in a lot of ways, because it's like, it basically in Barbie world, you've got a matriarchy instead of a patriarchy.
Yeah.
So what you're supposed to do...
Very liberal feminism, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you're supposed to reverse it in your mind. However, the hero reinforces the matriarchy at the end of it and just gives gives the Kens some, like, a 3/5 compromise type of shit.
It makes me think of there's a Ruth Bader Ginsburg. There's like an interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and somebody asked what's the ideal number of women to be on the Supreme Court, and she said I can't remember what the number of justices is, but whatever the number of, I think it's 9, right?
Yeah.
She said the ideal number would be 9. We've had 9 men for a long time, and nobody complained about that. And I'm like, didn't you? Yeah. Isn't that the fucking point? Didn't you complain about that?
I mean, I wouldn't oppose it.
I wouldn't have until she said that.
Okay, so I get the Avengers, although, you know, I feel like you're doing the thing with Marvel movies where you're giving them ones on principle.
Yeah. If you ask me about any of them, I'll give them a genuine... I should go through and give the Marvel movies a genuine rating, because I'm over that the anger now.
Game of Thrones, you give a 1.
It was that period when everything was Disney. Every movie that anybody was talking about was a fucking Disney film. And I forgot
Marvel was Disney there for a second. Damn their branding. Okay, you've given Fallout a 1. Yeah, we've had that conversation. I like Fallout. I don't know how much the games affect that, but fine. Game of Thrones,
Fallout is the worst thing I've ever seen. Maybe not on an objective scale, but there's things with lower budgets that are objectively worse. But in terms of like...
Then you definitely need to see the Human Centipede movies, because that will just break the floor on that one.
What was the one you said after Fallout? You mentioned something else.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, what did I give that?
A 1.
Yeah, that's one, because I really enjoyed the first couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Like, really enjoyed
it. That should get it off a 1.
Then it just... Yeah, well, but then that is a case where I think we've talked about this before, but it wasn't just like the final season or anything for me. It was like season 3 onwards where you'd started to see like, oh, he doesn't actually have any ideas. He's just got a formula. And it just, it poisoned the rest for me. Because that liking of the first couple of seasons was in the hope that it was going somewhere interesting as well. Like it created hope within me. And if you pull the rug on that hope, then... Yeah, that retroactively cancelled.
Yeah, I, me and Rosie rewatched it recently, and honestly, we enjoyed it. We enjoyed watching it.
I think you're more, and many people are more into like world building and like setting than I am with it.
Yeah,
like there's some things where I respond to it, and that, I think generally I don't really respond to that stuff as much as a lot of people do. Yeah, so I think that's largely what you're enjoying, right? I mean, the characters and stuff, of course, as well. But.
Yeah, characters, yeah. Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I could pick holes in it till the cows come home, but...
Yeah.
I watched it, I enjoyed it. Mandalorian... Yeah,
again, one's probably unfair. Things I wouldn't go above a 3 anyway.
You gave The Mandalorian a 1, which I feel is a bit harsh as well. Is that just because it's Star Wars?
That's not fair, that's Disney, yeah. I'd give that. Realistically... I don't think it was as good as people said it was. I think it was very polished, but very bland. So I think like a 5 would be fair for that.
Okay. Harsh, but fairer.
I think Andor I did give a fair rating to. I think
you
should.
Andor deserves a 10.
I don't think I gave it a 10, but what did I give it?
I'll tell you what, no.
It's not on there.
I will give it a 9, only because it takes a couple of episodes to really warm up.
Given the stuff that I've got at 10s, 9s, and 8s, I think it's a 7 or an 8. Like, Dune Part 2, which is fucking stunning, has got a 9, so it can't be more than a 9. It's not better than Dune Part 2.
You gave Return of the Jedi a 1?
That's just anti-Star Wars. Honestly, I'm sick of fucking Star Wars. Return of the Jedi. Never my favourite Star Wars film, though. I know it's the one we're supposed to like the most, but I like the first one the most. I think the second one's more sophisticated, but yeah, not necessarily what I want for Star Wars.
But the trouble is with these trilogies, where you've kind of got... The thing is with Return of the Jedi is it didn't really have an arc in its own. It was just joining the two films together.
Return of the Jedi, you're saying?
Yeah, Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi is very much... It's not... Return of the Jedi is halfway to the prequels in terms of being fucking stupid. It doesn't really... It's that thing of... It's a lot of character moments, but it's not doesn't really have a story. It doesn't really have a point. I don't think it really knows what it's doing. It's rehashing things. It's already rehashing things from the other two films. Like, oh, they're like Luke and Vader confrontations. Let's do that. They like Leia running around. Let's do that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got higher expectations of Star Wars than I do. I'm fine with just silly shenanigans in space, you know.
Well, I'm in the generation where my whole childhood was Star Wars. We loved it. I was in love with it, and that carried through to into my 20s. And then we heard about the prequels were coming out, and we were so fucking excited. And then we saw the prequels, and it was like being gutted. It was horrible. So Star Wars is very. I loved it, absolutely adored it when I was young, and I know people find it silly, but like it did piss on my childhood. Those prequels, so I'm poisoned against it. But Andor cut through that,
yeah.
Like still, you know, it's been there, but Andor cut through that, which yeah.
I enjoyed the Hobbit movies.
Mm. Yeah, no.
Just enjoy. You know, I'd rate them. Lord of the Rings, enjoyed them. You gave them a one. Gave the Mummy a one, the Matrix trilogy ones.
Hang on, which Mummy did I give a one?
The Mummy 2017.
The one with Brendan Fraser?
Is that 2017? Yeah, I think, yeah.
No, that's too late for the Brendan Fraser one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, that's something else, yeah. Oh, that okay. Might be the Tom Cruise one.
Oh, okay, all right, then.
No, because the Brendan Fraser one, I don't love them as much as other people do, but they're fun enough.
Yeah. Truman Show, one?
I cannot stand Jim Carrey, and that was the film where everybody was like, no, you got to see him in this, because in this he doesn't do all the stupid face stuff, he's just a normal actor, and it's a great film. And both of those things were lies. He does all the stupid face stuff, and it's not a good film.
I mean, I wouldn't give it a one, but it's, yeah.
Oh, you got to put something in more.
You gave Wednesday a one.
The TV show?
Yeah, on Netflix.
Yeah, that was all... That was all like style over nothing. I would say it was substance, but well, yeah, completely insubstantial, but very stylish, and I'm done with that.
I enjoyed that. Oppenheimer, you gave a one?
Yeah. One of the worst films I've seen. Why make a film about Oppenheimer and then concentrate on all the things about Oppenheimer that are not interesting, yeah, and then spend 50... Like, I don't care about his fucking personal relationships and who he had affairs with, and I don't care. Like, 50% of the film is like... It's just the director going. He didn't give secrets to the Nazis, to the Soviets. He didn't give secrets to the like. A, I don't really fucking give a shit. And B, like I would like him more if he did. Why are you spending so much effort in being so insistent that he didn't pass secrets to the Soviets? I don't fucking care. The actual Manhattan Project takes up about 5 minutes in that film, and it's, that bit is really bad as well.
Horrible to be honest, film. It was kind of amusing because I think it was like Jake. Do you know Jake Paul?
Yeah.
He said everyone laughed at him because he said the film was just all talking. To be honest, not an incorrect assessment.
No, and I like talking film. I like films that are all talking. I love like 12 Angry Men. I love there's a bunch of all talking films that I like. But it's got to be talking. Like it's got to be interesting talking.
Yeah. No, I didn't enjoy Oppenheimer, and it was too long.
All films are too fucking long now, but yeah.
You, fucking hell, right? Hang on a minute, I spotted another one. The Big Bang Theory, you were singing its minor praises, and you've given it a two.
Give it a two. That's a little bit me not sticking to my rules. That's me being like, oh no, it's two, I can't give that more. That's embarrassing. That should be, that's a bang, that's a five.
That should be a one.
That's a five. Every time I rewatch it, it goes up a bit, honestly. And I've just finished the rewatch.
The Witcher, you gave a two. The Witcher versus The Big Bang Theory. Come on.
No, I'll stand by that. I will absolutely stand by that. The first couple of episodes of The Witcher were really fucking good.
Yeah.
And then it just got really bad and okay, didn't know what it was doing. It's another one of those where they didn't know what they wanted to say. And that's a real... I don't like things where it's not saying anything or they don't know what they want to say.
All right. Full disclosure, I did struggle with The Witcher after season one. I really enjoyed season one. I would give it a 10 if they cut it at season one. Maybe a 9.
I would give it a 10 if... You know, what's the name of the lass who was like a hunchback and then she wasn't?
Oh, Yennefer.
It was great up until her bits were the best bits in it.
Yeah.
And it was great up until they fixed her. As soon as they fixed her, the show went to shit.
Interesting. the trouble is, like, with season one, they had a sort of a Monster of the Week vibe. I really like when shows sort of do that. And it built into like overarching themes for the season. But you still had the lots of smaller contained adventures. So you got a feel for who they were as people. When you've got these shows...
It felt a bit video gamey in a pleasant way as well because of that.
But also, like, having a little spot... Because those episodes, you don't really know it, but those episodes are like years apart from each other.
Yeah,
But because they don't age because they're magic people... they tried to make Jaskier age, but they really didn't put much effort in. Like he was supposed to, like theoretically, he was supposed to be the yardstick. So he's supposed to get a bit older, but he doesn't age either. And the show's going on for like 50 years or whatever. So I don't know what's happening with him. I think he's supposed to start off as like a young lad, and then he's supposed to be like, they mentioned he's got crow's feet.
That's a cool idea, but as you say, they didn't really deliver on that.
Yeah, but season two was just basically a long film that was just cut up into, and that just ruined it.
And not a particularly interesting film, really. I think it was two. I feel really bad for Henry Cavill because he seems to be like he's a genuine nerd and he wants to be like he really wanted to play The Witcher, same as like he really wanted to play Superman and like and he's really good in the roles. Like he was amazing as The Witcher. He was perfect for that role, same as Superman. But he just gets fucked over by the material or the director or whatever, just being shit.
Yeah, yeah. He left on principle. So we're. Mm. Hang on. Is the last season? The last season is the last one with Henry Cavill. So
I only watched the first two, and then I was like,
okay. So here's one thing I will say about The Witcher, because I think it's one of those shows, a little bit like The Big Bang Theory, for you, that is better on a rewatch. Because if you're rewatching you're watching it because the vibes, you know, you just want some comfort watching. Fine on that. If you're looking for a story that compels you, then you're going to be disappointed. But if you're looking for some, you know, it's like a let's play with a higher budget, you know, it's then I can live with it. But I think the Witcher just disappoints me with the fact that I really enjoyed the first season so much, and then they just threw everything that was good about it out the window.
Which is it was Netflix, wasn't it? Which they do have a sort of habit of doing that, which is a shame because they're on to winners sometimes and they just fuck them up.
You gave Rogue One a 2.
I don't like Rogue One as much as everybody else, that seems to be the one they like. But I don't really.
Do you know what?
There's aspects of it I think are fine, but it's too mimicking a war film, like a Vietnam War film. Not interested in that. And a lot of the acting is very bad.
I've seen that film 5 times and I couldn't tell you what happens in it.
Yeah.
There's something about
there's
Casino.
That's what I really like. I don't really like being like a plot holes kind of person, but like they could have got off that fucking planet at the end. The sacrifice seemed very artificial.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's because Mon Mothma in fucking New Hope says...
No, I know. But then write a better story for why they couldn't get off the planet. Like, it's just like, we've done our job, so now let's just sit by a nuke.
To be honest, I think Andor in some ways makes it worse. You said Andor
in that
makes
aspect
it better.
Of it, yeah. No, in that aspect of it, I totally agree.
But I... See, the thing is with me, I actually... And you're going to just so disagree with me on this one. I actually prefer the Star Wars series over the Star Wars films. Because Star Wars works best as a setting.
Which series is it we're talking about?
Oh, I would say all of the live action ones, really. Mandalorian.
Like you're not talking about like Clone Wars and shit like that.
No, not the animated ones.
Yeah, you mean the modern stuff.
The modern stuff.
Have you seen many? Like, have you seen like The Acolyte?
Yeah, I like The Acolyte.
I've only watched the first few episodes, and like I know its problems, I know what its problems are, and I'm sort of like, I'm willing to. I like what I saw of the Acolyte. I think that could be fun. It felt very like KOTOR-y.
Yes, it was. To be honest, I would sort of say it's like Star Wars for women, because they had women showrunners on,
yeah.
And there is a bit of female gaze in there. There's a bit of sex in there, you know. Like it's kind of
I think I've seen clips of like the coven of weird space witches or whatever.
Was it Manny Pacquiao or what's his name? Manny Jacinto. Sorry, I'm thinking of the boxer.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah. he gets a bit sexy in it.
I think more sexy stuff is good.
The lightsaber battles are really good because the thing is they've got like older versions of the lightsabers.
Mm.
So they, I don't know, there's a bit more jank to them in a good way.
Andor was a bit janky as well, and I think that. I think Star Wars needs to be a bit jank.
Because like you know, there's the thing about Star Wars in Return of the Jedi was there's that famous scene where everyone's fleeing Cloud City and there's the guy that's just like grabbed an ice cream maker and is running.
Yeah,
and they just wanted like spacey looking props.
And then
in The Mandalorian they turned that into an actual carrying case for money. But like that kind of jank. I know what you mean. They took something that was jank and then
when they take like very background things. Like this is one of the problems with Star Wars. Like it's like every little fucking thing has to have a backstory now. Like the amount of fucking information on all the buttons on like Darth Vader's suit. Like it's just some prop that somebody slapped together in the 70s. Like stop it.
Yeah. The jank is good. And I'm gutted that the Acolyte got cancelled after season one.
Oh, it only got one season.
They wanted to focus on the newer stuff, as in like the newer stuff.
I think I'll watch the Acolyte. I think I'll make that my next watch. Maybe we could have a chat about it afterwards.
Absolutely. Because I enjoyed it. There's a little bit of lore there. I liked Ahsoka too, but I get why people might not like that. It's a bit of a slower burn.
I was told by many people, some of whose opinions I respect, that Clone Wars was amazing. I mean, I've heard that for years, that Clone Wars is amazing, and I got around to watching it, and it's fucking drivel. That put me off watching Ahsoka.
Fair enough. I haven't seen it, the Clone Wars.
Don't.
Ahsoka's probably in some ways it's the weakest, but then like
small like, character. Like one thing Star Wars is good at, and this is like very much the Darth Maul thing, is just characters that just look cool. And then I think because it's largely like a children's kind of thing, in a kid's like Boba Fett back in the day. I mean, he's got his fucking TV show now. But we thought as a kid, I was like, Boba Fett is such a fucking cool character.
Yeah.
And, like he's not. He doesn't have a character. It's just a suit. It's a cool suit. And that's cool. Like that is.
Turns
cool.
out
cool
he's woke.
Turns out he's fucking woke and ruined everything.
Yeah.
Hello, Tema. We're talking about woke ruining everything. But yeah, you know what I mean. Like as a kid, you think a cool suit is a cool character. And like they shouldn't. Don't try and expand on that. Just leave him as a cool, mysterious character. You know, suit like dude, cool looking dude who's mysterious. That's fine. Like leave it alone.
Yeah.
And so like yes. So my point is like Darth Maul. Like just cool. Like again. He's in like three scenes and he says four words. He's not a character, but he looks fucking cool.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he talked.
He talks like he's in very little. And like Ahsoka as well. I mean, I know Ahsoka talks a shit ton in the, what I just said, but like she's Clone a cool Wars, looking yeah. character. She is a very cool looking character.
She's a bit, I was not going to say slow. She's like very stoic. That's the word I was thinking of.
I
think she's because she's a bit older or whatever.
This is kind of that's where I understand the Clone Wars people like liking it because in the Clone Wars she's very much the opposite because she's a kid and she's learning the shit and she's very like rash and very like impulsive and blah 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 and then her becoming more mature I can understand people enjoying that journey for her.
The thing is okay so the guy that I think he's like the Icelandic guy or like Norwegian guy or whatever sorry that's a bit racist. Who played the creepy wizard in The Witcher. What's his name? He's got like a real wizardy name. Stregobor.
Yeah.
Stregobor.
Yeah.
He plays a character in I think season two of Ahsoka. See, the thing is with the Shoka, right? It gets really good about halfway through season two, and there's only two seasons. So So it's hard for me to truly recommend it. But he comes in, the guy that plays Strogobor, as Grand Admiral Thrawn, who is seen by like Star Wars fans as like a really good bad guy on a tier with like Darth Vader. And he's got a really interesting backstory because he's an alien. He's like made his way up through the Imperial ranks despite like huge amounts of like racial adversity.
Yeah, right.
But he's also got his own goals. He doesn't support the Empire. He's just rising up the ranks of the Empire to support like his own personal sort of political agenda for his people.
Isn't he the... Like he, I remember him. I remember the name. Isn't he in some of the like video games as a baddie and stuff? He's the new Empire or something. I can't remember
something
what they
like
call
that.
It.
Yeah, yeah,
but yeah. After Return of the Jedi, like he's the Remnant. Is that what he's part of?
Possibly. Like that? Yeah, that sounds about right. But he plays a really because he's nice and he's like a good diplomat and he like makes connections with people and that's how he becomes like a good. Like an effective fascist, as it were. You know, he's probably a little bit more like if you think of the Empire as your standard rank and file fascist, Grand Admiral Thrawn is a little bit like your Indiana Jones kind of fascist. A little bit occulty, a little bit like you know, just sort of yeah, like I don't know, like he's clever. Thinks outside the box, doesn't necessarily play by even the rules of the Empire, and and he makes he's a very interesting character, but he also makes for a great on-screen presence because he's so softly spoken. Yet it's like, oh, this is the big bad guy, and he does
That's
sound
cool.
I think they've nailed him, and I want to see him in more Star Wars stuff, possibly outside of Ahsoka. Like it almost feels like they're building him up to be a baddie for a movie, and he'd be a really good baddie in a movie.
May have been the plan,
they've really
fucked it with these. I think they had a lot of good ideas in, again, like I think the films were largely terrible, but in the TV shows, even the ones that failed, even the ones that aren't liked, there's some interesting ideas that they clearly were trying to develop towards something, but because it was so shotgun, like it was too many fucking shows all at the same time, and like even people who liked it just like couldn't be arsed, you know?
You've got Back to the Future 2 and 1 as twos.
Yeah, that's one of those. I saw those films as a kid, obviously, because I'm fucking Gen X. They were my generation.
They're great films.
Very much enjoyed them. But then the fact that my generation won't fucking shut up about them, like as if they're fucking Citizen Kane or something. They're not. They were enjoyable action films from a particular time. Very enjoyable, but they're not like the height of fucking cinema. Will you please shut the fuck up about Ghostbusters and fucking Back to the Future and all this shit? And it just makes me hate them. I hate them now.
Okay, so first of all...
It's somewhat unfair, but honest opinion.
It is unfair. But here's the thing, right? They're better than E.T. They're better than Ghostbusters.
Oh, they're better than E.T., yeah.
Better than Jurassic Park.
No.
They're better than all of those. They're better than all those Spielberg films of that era. They are the best of that.
I'm with you up until Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park's excellent.
No, I've seen that about 5 times, and I still can't get into it.
It's really interesting.
It's better than E.T. Like I put it, but like
yeah, no, E.T.'s horrible. Yeah,
E.T. is horrible, and you've given it a fucking 2. It deserves a 1.
I got a 2 because I remember watching it as a kid. I really like the bit where the kids were on BMXs and the way Spielberg's got a way of filming that particular thing that just like, that feels like, it feels like freedom. It feels like the freedom you feel as a kid. That's the only reason it's got a 2.
BMX is right. You give Fight Club a 2 as well. I know you don't like Fight Club.
No, Fight Club's terrible, yeah.
I enjoyed Fight Club, but I do take it...
Hello, Hamish.
Hey, Hamish. I do take on board that it's from a liberal perspective.
It's even putting the politics of it are horrible, but even putting that aside, it's one of those 90s films that's like, it's so much about the twist that if you don't find the twist interesting, then the whole, like, same with I Talk to Dead People, what the fuck, like it's not good. Like if you're invested in that twist, then you're really going to enjoy the film. If you're not, and I wasn't, then at the end you're going to be like, that's it.
Yeah, I enjoyed the twist.
Amy says, are you against Jurassic Park because dinosaurs ate your girlfriend?
And my hand.
He did mention the arm as well. Yeah.
You've got Mad Max Fury Road. You didn't enjoy that one.
I didn't like it. No.
I haven't seen it, but I
got to the... I wasn't enjoying it, and then I got to the point where there's a convoy with like a big lorry with a dude playing a fucking electric guitar standing on top of the lorry, and then like flames come out, and I'm like, this is fucking silly, and I closed the thing, and then I finished it later, and I was like, there's a certain kind of silliness that disengages me, and that Mad Max in general, and particularly in that film, yeah, it just has that silliness that I don't enjoy.
Yeah. What else have you got? You gave Squid Game a 2.
I think it was so obvious and boring. I was hyped for it. Like I expected, because it was hyped by people. Like usually I sort of like see eye to eye with on this stuff. And I was like, I went into it really expecting to enjoy it. And I was like, it's very obvious.
You gave Avatar a 3.
Avatar. It's one I tend to avoid like really hyped things, and I avoided that one for decades. I didn't watch it till many years later, and I watched it and I was like, yeah, it was all right. You know what I mean? It's like wasn't as good as I was expecting, but also wasn't as bad as I was expecting. It was just like, yeah, it was okay. It's like Pocahontas on an alien planet. It's fine.
I recently saw K-pop Demon Hunters, which you've given a 5.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
It's very Gen. I've got a theory that Gen Z, in terms of like music and media in general, movies and stuff, they really want bland because the world is so chaotic. That is my theory.
Yeah,
like they just want comfort. They just and all of their media is fucking bland.
Yeah.
K-pop Demon Hunters, like it was enjoyable. Like you know, pop peppy songs, like and nice animation. That was enjoyable, but it was bland.
Yeah. No. That's fair. You gave Shawshank Redemption a 5.
That's one that I liked a lot when I watched it, but subsequent rewatches have made me like it less and less.
Oh, interesting. Okay, interesting here. Hang on, is Once Upon a Time the series?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen that.
What did I give it?
You gave it a 6.
I'd be willing to go up to a 7 on that, I think. I enjoyed that very much. It's very fucking silly. Silliness... Because that's silly, but I'm okay with it. I enjoy the silliness in that.
There's also some great all-time MILFs in there.
The evil fucking queen.
Yeah,
who's not even really all that evil. Like, yeah, no, amazing, yeah.
But you've also given Mr. Robot a 6, so that didn't hook you in.
That started out great, but very steadily went downhill. Like, did you watch it to the end? Have you seen the ending?
Yeah, I've seen the ending. I really like the concept of the ending, but I wish they executed it better.
Exactly that. Yeah, it's not a bad
idea for execution. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like
on the scale, I'm trying to be like 5 is out. I'm not being like because a lot of scales, it's like anything below a 5 is a complete failure, and you know 5 and below. No, 5 is still can be a decent thing.
Yeah, so spoilers alert, because I'm going to give away the spoiler to Mr. Robot. The bad guy in Mr. Robot wants to build a time machine to resurrect their long-lost love. Not the long-lost, their lover who died.
You had to have, for me, you had to have more of that sprinkled throughout the show. You can't just make that a surprise. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Did they write that from the beginning? Probably not.
I don't believe so. Because nothing else. Because I think he just wanted, I think he wanted every season... to have like a real surprising, because the first season there's a very surprising thing that you find out, and then the second season there's a less surprising thing that you find out, and it's sort of like it's diminishing returns in that.
And it does seem like sometimes they bring in these surprises to try and do that, but at the same time you're thinking, okay, but I mean that doesn't actually change the story. That's just a shocking thing you've revealed about the character.
Yeah, yeah, and it didn't feel earned, or earned isn't quite the right word, but constructed. It was just like, you can say this because nobody can say otherwise.
If they were gonna do a remake in a film trilogy, they could like really knock it out of the park. Like because I liked the Robin Hood aspect of it. I liked the science fictiony bits of it. I'd like characters, to be honest.
I like the mental, like the men in the first season in particular. What is real, what is not real, was very enjoyable as well.
Yeah,
like, they did it. That could be done very poorly, but it was done very well in it.
Yeah, I like the corporate guy. That was
cool. Yeah, no, he was amazing. Yeah, yeah, a lot of great performance, a lot of good, really good, like like dialogue in it, and a lot of excellent performances in the acting. Yeah.
Hang on a minute, you've put West Wing at 6.
Yeah.
West Wing at 6, but you've also put Once Upon a Time at 6.
What's your problem with that?
You really like West Wing.
Yeah, well, I hate its politics now. Like, in retrospect, I hate... It's a love-hate thing with West Wing. It's comfort, and I enjoy it, and I love everybody really saying really clever dialogue all the time, and that. But that's also what I hate about it. It's very constructed, it's very naive in a way. I don't know, it's complicated with the West Wing. But I love both of those shows. I'd say, I think a six is good.
I bet I know what you're going to say about Bob's Burgers. I know exactly what you're going to say about Bob's Burgers. You're going to say the exact same thing you said about K-pop Demon Hunters.
No, because it doesn't have that blandness. No, I think it's got some really interesting characters and stuff. It's been a while, so my memory of it isn't great. But the one daughter who's kind of like psychotic or something, fucking loved her.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
And really, and the really awkward Louise. Daughter as well. Like, yeah. Amazing. It seemed to sort of had a lot of promise and like spark in the first season, and it sort of settled down into more of like just a sort of soap opery kind of feel.
Yeah.
And I feel like it could have just been more interesting.
Oh, Casino. You're getting Casino a 6. That's Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. I quite enjoyed that.
Where after a certain point, Scorsese just kept making the same film over and over again. He made everything up to Goodfellas was interesting, and then everything after Goodfellas was just more Goodfellas.
I like Casino. I found that good.
I like it. Yeah. I rewatched it before I rated it for that one.
Yeah. Okay, so everyone always... I don't know where you stand on this, based that you've given it a 6. Ex Machina, I really didn't see anything there as a film. I thought it was dumb as fuck.
I know what you mean by that, but I think it's... Yeah, it's a... I very much enjoyed it, I will say that. And I think it's... It felt like a video game plot. And I think it probably would have made a better video game than the movie, honestly.
Well, kind of. Didn't the guy fall in love with the robot? So, like, how do you do that in a video game?
I think you'd be the guy. It'd be a bit like Prey or something. I think it was a bit, like, I like pretentiousness, but it was a bit pretentious. Its idea wasn't as clever as it seemed to think it was.
But what if you fell in love with a robot? But what if a robot but hot?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, literally. What if a robot but heart is? Yeah,
what
no,
if
exactly,
slavery
exactly.
But robots? You're like,
but given the premise was what if a robot with but heart? It did do that very well. I sympathized so hard with the robot and also had a crush on it.
Your job is to be hot. Like, oh man. I mean, it probably look. It says some things, but it says things that we already know. You know, yada yada tech bro, yada yada objectification of women, yada yada. Yeah. You know, it's.
No, exactly that.
Yeah. I remember it saying nothing at the time that wasn't just like, you know. But also...
No, I agree with that.
You've given Ocean's 8 a 6, which I'm kind of impressed at.
I like Ocean's 8. That is my favourite of the Ocean's films. I like... In some cases, it just feels cheap when it's like, it's this, but ladies. But that one, like they had genuine chemistry with each other, and it was fun. And also Rihanna uses a trackball in it, which gives it a couple of votes.
Okay, yeah. No, I enjoyed Ocean's 8, really enjoyed that. Probably one of the better Ocean's films, yeah.
It lost 2 points because that stupid, shitty, fat British comedian's in it.
Eddie Izzard. You
know? No. The horrible... He had, like... He did a show where he interviewed people in a car and everybody...
Oh, James Corden.
Yeah. He's in a couple of scenes. So
oh, God.
Probably would have been a 7 without that.
Yeah. Fucking hell. He's even worse than Eddie Izzard. Did they bring back Eddie Izzard for that one? I feel like that's...
No. Eddie Izzard's not in that one. Not that good. I remember it.
You've given Bourne Ultimatum a 6. That kind of tracks.
I like the Bourne films. So here, 6 is good. Like, I like the Bourne films very, very much. Yeah. The first three.
Ex Machina definitely should not be a 6. That should be a 1.
you dislike it that much? It was very well made for that premise, though. I agree the premise is very obvious, and it's not everything. It's saying things as if it's saying something clever, but exactly what you said. It's stuff we all know.
District 9 had a better take on those kind of themes, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't think I've rated that one. I should rate that one.
21 Jump Street, giving that a 7. I think considering that film stopped Kanye West from being anti-Semitic, I think deserves a higher score.
I didn't know it did that.
Yeah. So
like, yeah, like Trevor says, I do love my schlock. I love my guilty pleasures and my schlock.
Oh no, you've given Home Alone a 7. What's wrong with you?
That's a good film.
No, it's fucking not.
You don't like Home Alone? That's an interesting one that polarizes people, because I think I just thought for a long time, I was like, everybody loves Home Alone.
That's but what yeah, I hate about it. The number of times I've had to sit down.
That's why I hate Back to the Future.
It's like, the number of times I've had to sit in someone else's living room watching fucking Home Alone because it's the film everyone likes.
I can always watch Home. I like a Christmas film starters. It's nice and sentimental. Also, I just like the fantasy of, like, as a kid being alone in a big, especially that house. Fucking, like, I love that John Hughes made films about, like, this is just a normal family and it's always like a fucking mansion.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big family, wasn't it? Wasn't it like 10 of them or something?
There was a lot of them, yeah. But still.
Princess Bride, that's a good one. That's a good film.
That's great, yeah. What did I give that?
7.
That should be an 8. That's wrong.
Idiocracy, interesting you give that one a 7.
It's a good film. I don't think it's as good as Office Space. I think it doesn't quite... I think it hasn't nailed down its thesis as hard as it really needed to. But it's very enjoyable.
I'm sure you've answered this before. Where do you stand on its the idea that it's a bit classist because it's like only poor people reproduce in the future and everyone's stupid?
I think that gets a bit overplayed. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, it's the opening segment where it's like a diagram of like this redneck having like, you know, so many kids and like these middle class couple having no kids kind of thing.
Yeah.
That is literally eugenicist.
Yeah.
If you want to read into it. But that's clearly not the intent. It was clearly far more tongue-in-cheek and light-hearted than that. I forgot his name. I don't think he is a eugenicist.
The thing is, okay.
It was clumsy rather than evil.
Yeah. Okay, Douglas Arthur, for just a second, right? Because it's one of the things that they say, like, with the UN numbers and stuff like that, that a lot of countries, like, you think of as like, developed countries, like the UK and, like, South Korea... there are others I can't think of, where birth rates are basically plummeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's probably like a whole mix of reasons as to why that's happening. I would think that one of them is just like greater choice to contraceptives and things like that. People being educated on, sexual wellness and all that kind of stuff. Women being able to be independent, you know, relationships and marriage is a choice now, whereas it was more of a survival mechanism back in the day, all that kind of stuff. You could also argue things like, well, you know, people might factor in things like cost of living, or they might enjoy their life without kids to the point where they become too old and then just let it drift.
I mean, when you ask, because it's interesting because we don't know the cause of it, but it correlates very strongly with education.
Yeah.
But when you ask, like, educated middle-class people the reason why they didn't have kids, they say money.
Yeah.
Which is all adds up to something interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I mean, I don't know if it's a middle-class thing. I think there's plenty of working-class people that fit that paradigm as well.
But no, for sure, yeah. But the lower you go down, the more kids people tend to have. Like, he was right in that regard.
I'd be interested to see that on like things like census and stuff, like how that correlates just within the UK, because like
I think that's one of those things. It's one of those things that's historically true as well. I think just like the poorer you are, like even comparing rich countries now to poor countries now, like poor countries just have higher birth rates.
Oh yeah, well we know that with poorer countries, but a lot of poorer countries also don't have, you know, the contraceptive choices, the sex education.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
For sure.
I mean, am I saying is it money or is it education? Because money and education themselves are correlated, right?
Not strongly, but yeah, for sure.
Internationally, vaguely, yeah, like
they certainly tend to correlate. I don't think it correlates with education, but it's not like education causes people to not want kids. I don't think that's what it is.
It educates them on their choices. It lets them know they have a choice. Education.
I don't think it's that. I think it's having a life that you don't want to disrupt.
I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
I think that's what it comes down to. If your life is already chaotic, then fuck it. A little bit more chaos doesn't really make any difference. But if you've got a sort of very... Even if you, in theory, want to have kids, it's a very difficult thing to do when you've got a very comfortable, very regularized life.
Interesting.
That's my gut thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't have a gut instinct on this one. because I think that it's very much, I don't know, I just feel like it's a case. See, I think in some countries, like, marital rape is more common, and and sort of women's rights are just much worse than they are here, and I think that probably has some kind of impact.
I do know that when they factor contraception into it, availability of contraception, it doesn't affect it. It's still poor countries reproduce more, even in countries where there's a lot of poor countries where contraception is freely available. Everybody knows about it, the education's there, but it still seems to be like, yeah, poorer you are, the more kids you have. I know this has been suggested. I don't like evolutionary biology as an explanation, but it's if things are precarious, you want to reproduce. It makes some sense.
That makes some sense, yeah. But the question I asked then is but why does it correlate with is it financial?
I think it's like you said. I think because education correlates with income, and income correlates with being comfortable. And being comfortable, I think it's a peculiarity of being comfortable under capitalism, where you're comfortable in the sense that you have all the things you want and need. Your life is relatively comfortable. You know, have a nice car where you drive to work. You enjoy that you work. You might even enjoy your work. And having a kid that you know will disrupt that is difficult. But I think it's also, I think even when you're comfortable under capitalism, there's a degree of precariousness.
Yes.
Like, it always feels like it could be taken away from you. And I think those two things add together to maybe, yeah.
Now that, I think you're very spot. I think there's a lot. That rings very true to me, actually. Because most people would consider me in a comfortable position, you know. I've got a job, don't hate it. Live in a house that's nice and,
if the expense of kids didn't hit it so hard, and like the concern, like childcare, like who has to take time off, if all of that wasn't a concern, it was like freely available for free childcare, and like you got your formula and baby food for free, I imagine that would change things a lot.
I would say where it, the fact that we both have jobs makes, like, if one of us lost a job, I think that level of comfort would decrease.
Would
survive, but it would decrease. And so there is a precariousness to this level of comfort. Capitalism.
Exactly. Exactly that. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
it could all get fucking rug pulled.
Yeah.
In a couple of bad months.
As opposed to like if you're dirt poor and got nothing to lose, then you got nothing to lose. You know, it's like, well, we'll find a way. We've fed 5 mouths, we'll feed 6, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. But also, I do feel that the fact that everyone has their own story is a big player in all of this. Like,
how
I
do
think,
you mean?
Well, it's like, yeah, you can look at like global trends and national trends and all that kind of stuff, but I feel very strongly, again, this is a gut thing with no evidence, that everyone's got their own like reasons and perspectives on whether or not they can, want, or should have kids.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I don't know, it feels like it's one of those things that it could be, you could overanalyze it almost.
Yeah. Which is a thing that comes with a certain kind of, the combination of comfort and precarity. Precarity?
Yeah, precariousness.
It's that weird, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you've given Don't Look Up an 8.
Sorry, get that again.
You've given Don't Look Up an 8.
I like Don't Look Up very much. I know it wasn't generally blah blah. Everybody said it's too on the nose. It's like, it's got to be on the fucking nose at this point. No, I very much enjoy that. Yeah,
I haven't actually seen that, but it's, yeah,
I'd recommend it. Yeah, as long as you know going in that it's like, it's not subtle.
Yeah,
it's not a clever parody. It is a look how fucking stupid this is parody. But it's I enjoyed it a great deal.
Given The Expanse a 9. See, if The Expanse went up to season 3, that would be a 10 easy for me.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because the thing is, when we were doing Space Virgin season 4, I, like, looking back on it, that was the best out of the 3 later seasons as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was a little bit of, oh, they're discovering a new world. Yes, there's, there's some social turmoil.
That's some interesting stuff happening, yeah. But, yeah, I think, I mean, we said this numerous times while we were seeing it, but yeah, it's it never got bad. It's not that it was bad. It just never hit the highs of the first couple of seasons.
I mean, season 4 could have been a film, and it would have been a good film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, the thing is, the one thing that got me is that they never talked about the interesting stuff about the world. Like, suddenly you discovered alien life. I want to know everything about that alien life. I want to know everything about alien technology. And they just kind of... We saw... There were like two types of aliens that were fighting each other, and it's like, okay, that's about as that's all we know. Like...
I think in order to really explore that, it would have had to take a bit of a turn into being like, that's the point now. And I would have loved that show, but I also don't, this is the thing that's come up in discussion with people, actually. I don't necessarily need things to be resolved. I think some people really need things to be resolved. And I'm okay with, that was just humans experience a thing. And that, you know, it's got to be done in the right way and the right kind of story, but... you know, in life, things don't tie up neatly into a nice narrative bow, right? And I'm okay with some media exploring, you know, things being like that.
That's fine. But you've just built a very interesting world, and you're just not focusing on the interesting.
In the case
of
Expanse, I agree. Yeah.
No, it's and I don't. The ending just didn't. Holden fucked up on the ending. you've got this precariously negotiated coalition where the belt are equal participants, and he threw them into jeopardy.
We disagreed about this, didn't we? I think he did the right thing. I think that's a revolutionary moment, and you've got to seize it.
If you don't
seize that moment, then belters are never going to get their due.
But the thing is, they could have lost everything at that point and never got it back.
It's a risk, but I think that's the point where you've got to gamble for me. But I absolutely 100% see your point of view, and you could be right. Like, you know, if this world were real, you could be right for sure.
Holden should have just become the figurehead, and I think that's in many ways kind of can be almost like a political lesson, in that you have your figurehead that is much loved, and then underneath that, as their number two, you have the brains of the operation, Kamina Drummer. You know, and because, you know, Holden was very special insofar that he was liked by all sides for the most part.
I think I see what you're saying, and I see the sense.
You hold on to figurehead like that for dear life. Like, that's kind of what
it feels a little bit like saying, okay, we're going to give women the vote, but they have to like run who they're voting for by their husband.
No,
and you'd be like, in most cases, like, the woman's going to vote. She's going to vote who I want, but like, still, that's not right.
No. It's not like that. What it's like is like how when the Queen was the monarch, right?
Mm.
She basically kept like a lot of people liked the Queen, even though they necessarily didn't like the idea of monarchy. But because the Queen was such a decent diplomat, and because she was, like, you know, inoffensive and generally liked for the most part and all that kind of thing, she managed to keep, like, the royal family basically ticking over for a long time. Like, that's kind of, like, the Holden version, right? Like, whereas, like, if you've got the right figurehead, you can just, you know, that, because the optics are important.
What you're saying on, a practical level. I understand that, like, it would work and the belters would still be represented, but I think,
the optics matter. Kind of
it's philosophically dishonest, and you're not bringing... The public have to understand, the public of all the planets have to understand that, like, this is the belters' time. I think that matters. I think it matters. Like, this is... Like, you're living in a fucking dream if you don't think the belters are really the most powerful faction.
I don't know. It strikes me as like being the one thing that Earth and Mars can unite on. Is
no, I get that. I think you're right about that, and that's why I say it's a risk. But I think if you don't seize that moment, the belters are never going to get
a civil rights. Not generally won in, you know, little stints.
Possibly, but that doesn't mean that's the right. Like,
no, it's not right. But it's
one in one go.
I mean, yes.
There's America where slavery carried on for many hundreds of years, and then there was Jim Crow laws for, you know, many decades after that.
Yeah.
Or there's Haiti where there was a slave revolt and it was all fixed overnight.
Okay, yeah, well, that's
I'm not saying like, well, you know.
So basically, it comes down to can the belters
hold on to that power, essentially.
Yeah,
I think so. They can always throw more rocks at Earth and Mars.
Oh my god.
I do get your point. Like, I'm not secure.
Yeah, no.
What I'm
I mean,
saying.
I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. And then, yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah. You can sort of like, yeah, theorize that until the cows come up, which I think may. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that actually says something good about the end of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the problem was that it was mixed. If you're going to do that show, never bring in the alien stuff. Or at least don't make it as fucking interesting as you did.
Yes, yeah.
That's the problem, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're giving Severance a 4.
Yeah, I like the first season. I hated the second season, so... Mm.
Yeah. So you give the Monty Pythons a 3, or Monty Python, Holy Grail, and Life of Brian a 3.
That's another one that people... It's Home Alone. It's people won't stop fucking banging on about it. Like, it was funny, and it's very Oxbridge in its time, very class, dodgy to begin with, but very. I enjoyed it as a young person. Well, first time I saw it, very funny.
There's a
but
great bit
watch,
in. There's
watch
a great
it, enjoy it, move on. Don't quote it for 50 fucking years.
Yeah, there's a great bit in King of the Hill where they watch British comedy, and it's all like, yeah. Ooh, I'm a man in a dress. Ooh,
yeah. Because what's the kid's name?
Bobby.
Because Bobby gets really into it. Like, Bobby's actually, like, got a very sort of, like, highbrow taste. Because there's one where he gets, like, really into, like, deli food.
Yeah. Because
it's, like, exotic to him. And he gets fucking gout. He's, like, he's got actually quite, he's quite high. He's quite highbrow, is Bobby.
I think that the Monty Python stuff is, it's dressing up silly as highbrow.
Yeah. No, for sure. That's not all it was. It was, you know, it was pushing the absurd humor, which was a new thing, you know, in response to, you know, mother-in-law jokes and stuff. It was
historical context.
We've seen everything we watch now is influenced by it, and it's always awkward going back to the thing that influenced everything. I think it looks a bit crude in comparison, like blah blah. But there's certain people who won't fucking let go of it.
Yeah. No, that's fair. You're giving Mean Girls a 5.
I don't love that film again as much as many other people do, but I still enjoy it well enough. Like I think there are similar films from a similar era that are better. Like Election, for example, I think is much better.
Oh, I enjoyed Election.
I prefer Legally Blonde. I enjoy that more as a similar kind of like
Wolf of Wall Street. You're giving a 5.
Yeah, that's Scorsese again. It's like, that's fine. But
see, yeah,
do something.
I reckon I could do a cut of Wolf of Wall Street and make it 10 times better.
Making it half the length would make it better.
Yes.
To begin with.
First of all, I don't care about DiCaprio's fucking coke habit or his you know abusive nature.
A little bit of that. A little bit of that is like content,
half that film is doing coke on yachts. Like, come on.
Well, there's that bit where he takes the Quaalude or whatever it's called, and like it's like I can't remember how long the scene is, but it feels like it's a half hour scene of him just like struggling to like. I get it. After a certain point, like I get it.
Yeah.
Move on.
No, I don't. I enjoyed the businessy bits.
Yeah.
But you know, all the silly bits made that.
Given that you said that, you should watch. I'm gonna type these to you. Because you'll forget. But okay, number one is I'm recommending The Founder.
Okay.
Which is a true story about the founding of McDonald's. And it's Wolf of Wall Street if you just concentrate on the businessy bits.
Okay, all right, that sounds good. You've given Pulp Fiction a 5. That's interesting. And Ocean's 11
sick
a 5.
Sick of. He's another director who never moved on from it. He had that 90s. He nailed it in the 90s. He nailed what is the new sensibility of the 90s. He fucking nailed it. He was in the same way that. Spielberg did for the 80s. He nailed what should cinema be in the 90s, what would make sense. And he moved things along, and I respect that. But then he never grew from there. He just kept making the same exact kind of thing over and over again. And so I enjoyed it very much at the time, but it's diminished over time.
Yeah, it's a little bit like one of those films as well, like you say about Home Alone, that people won't shut up about.
It's very much.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction was all right. I did enjoy it, but you're right about... I enjoyed... Yeah, but definitely... God, what's his name again? Director? Tarantino.
Tarantino.
You're right. Like, his late... I like Jackie Brown as well. I really enjoyed that when I watched it. And I liked Inglourious Basterds. Which you've also given a 5 to.
The opening scene of Inglourious Basterds is one of the tensest fucking scenes in cinema.
Hang on a minute, you've dated that wrong.
Oh, have I?
It's not 1978.
Is that what it says? Oh, that's Track's fault, because that one was when I was still on track. I'll fix that. Yeah, that opening scene where the people are hiding under the floorboards and the Nazis coming in. Fucking amazing. The middle of the film was good, and the ending is fucking stupid. Can't remember specifically why I think it's stupid, but the whole thing, like with the cinema and that, I was like, this is fucking silly now.
They burn all the Nazis down the chute.
It's more interesting of the latter Tarantino films, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't like...
What's the one with the yellow... Are we going to say the same thing? The yellow jumpsuit lady. I don't get
that. Oh, Kill Bill. No. Don't like Kill Bill, no. Or I don't get anything from it, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand what I'm supposed to be enjoying.
It's one of those films that is just... It's just like an homage, and I'm doing air quotes here.
Yeah.
An homage to better films, you know? Just watch the better films.
Yeah. And it's just an homage. It's not adding anything. It's just have you seen Cantonese Kung Fu films?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's like, well, here's a copy. It's like, why?
Here's one with white people.
Yeah.
Ocean's 11 you gave a 5 to.
Yeah, I enjoy the Ocean's 11 films, but I don't love them. So,
yeah, no, yeah, I enjoy. Well, you gave District 9.
One of those, like, if it came on TV and it was 20 minutes in, you'd watch it.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be excited.
What about District 9?
So, what's the next one?
District 9.
What did I give that?
A 5.
Oh, that should be a 7. I'll adjust that one.
See, I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed it at the time. I don't know how well, how keen I am to rewatch it, if I'm honest.
I think that might be part of it. I was like, I should rewatch that. So I was like, oh, I don't really want to. Yeah, it seemed very of its time, yeah.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah. You gave Deadpool a 5, despite it being a Marvel.
I have no explanation for that. It was enjoyable. The first one was enjoyable.
Oh, my God, right. Yeah, me and Carla, friend of the show, saw a Deadpool and Wolverine. And,
yeah.
And it was just so formulaic. Like, it was exactly as you'd expect it.
Really? I enjoyed it, but it was stupid, and I hate that I enjoyed it, but I thought it was, like, incoherent rather than formulaic.
Oh, I mean, it's kind of both.
okay, that's fair. I did very much enjoy it. I can't remember the actor's name. He's an actor I quite like, but the one who played Gambit doing his... Louisiana, what's it called? Like the Creole accent? I fucking love that.
Yeah. I mean, it was an inoffensive film. Like, you know, we had a decent night out. I think we had a Weatherspoons.
I think it gets bumped up. The fight scene in a tiny hatchback car was very funny and enjoyable and creative.
All right.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, Deadpool's fine. But I think
I didn't enjoy the second one.
No, I can't even remember the second one. The second one doesn't seem to have a point.
That's kind of why I didn't enjoy it, yeah.
Die Hard, you've given a 5. That's higher than I thought you'd...
Yeah, again, it's over... It's not even the best of its kind, I don't think, but people love it, and it's fine. I don't mind it.
Yeah, it's kind of got that... Yeah, is it... okay, I'm going to ask a question. Is it a Christmas film? Is Die Hard a Christmas film?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Not really, but yeah. In the same way that... less so, actually. Gremlins is more of a Christmas film. Like, it's a film that happens at Christmas.
Yeah,
so
but
it was
also
on a Christmas lot, so people have Christmas associations.
But it's also a little bit like Office Christmas Party. You know, it's kind of, it's not about the Office Christmas Party, but the setting is an Office Christmas Party. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's Office Christmas Party gone right.
I enjoy it, but like for what it is, you know, it's just a solid action film.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not as good as the people who really love it think it is, for sure. But
no,
it's not bad.
It's fine. Yeah. But I was shocked that you gave Wheel of Time a fucking 5.
it's a very bad production of a good series of books that I fucking love, and enough of the books shine through that. It remained a 5 despite its failings.
Oh yeah, I remember you really going off on that film when I first on that series.
I've got such mixed feelings about it, but there's certain things, even things that change. I don't mind the things. A lot of the fans of the books don't like the changes from the books. Some of them I think were completely fucking pointless and I would question, but I think a lot of the changes were A, necessary to film this thing in less than 80 seasons, and B, actually quite creative and interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm gutted it got cancelled.
Yeah, me too. Because I think it was getting better as well. It was on a, it was on an upslope. It was getting really, really good towards the last season.
Yeah, and I love the concept of it. I love the concept of the Wheel of Time and how they presented it.
You should read the books. Books are great. Oh, you say you don't like audiobooks, do you?
No. But also, like, a lot of what I liked about it was the superficial stuff as well. Like the style, the styles of it.
Right.
You know, the stuff that gets lost
The book. Yeah, the book has... It's not like that style is the book style necessarily, but like the book has that same feeling of being stylistically different from the fantasy that was around it at the time. It's doing...
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and
me too. I think that, you know, if that had carried on and it kept getting better as it was, what did I rate it?
You rated it a 5.
I think that should be a 7. That'd be because, like I say, moment to moment, you just, you know, especially the middly ones, I think that should be a 7. Yeah, I'm gonna fix that right now. Actually, I care about that one.
Yeah, gave The Simpsons a 3. Oh my god, I'll tell you what. Right, when we were on holiday, me and Rosie watched like a new episode of The Simpsons, because it's like we were having dinner in the living room and of this Airbnb, and it was like, okay, well, it's live, you know, live TV or whatever it is, so we'll put on The Simpsons just for something to watch while we eat. And it was a new one, and I didn't even think it could get as bad as it's gotten, man.
That's why it's what it is. Like, what the fuck? How would you rate The Simpsons? And B, what do you rate? Do you rate the seasons you like? Because then it would be like 8, 9, 10, right? Yeah. Or do you rate it as a whole? Do you rate it as a cultural phenomenon? Do you rate how much it's disappointed you based on how well it started and where it's got to? Like, what the fuck do you rate? So yes, a 3 was what was in my head when I rated it, and I'd stand by that, but it could equally be a 7, you know, or it could be a 10 if you just count the first 5 seasons or whatever.
Oh, I don't know, honestly. Seasons 1 to 9, I give it a near 10, maybe a 9.
Yeah
the successive seasons after that, I would give it a 4, and then and then much further after that, I'd give it a 1, because a 1 is effectively a 0 here, isn't it? It's a 1 to 10, right?
It was based on the way Tract did it, so there was no 0. Yeah,
if it's a 0, it's either 0 to 9 or 1 to 10, right? That's kind of the same.
If there's supposed to be 10 increments, then yeah.
Now, you're giving the Toy Stories a 1. That's interesting.
They're ones that I remember, like the first Toy Story, I saw it with my friends in the cinema. It was like, I was a young adult, so it was a time when me and my friends were sort of independently going to the cinema without our mums and dads taking us. Very much enjoyed it. Lovely experience, but I'm so sick of Disney and Pixar and all that. I'm just sick of that fucking shit.
Yo.
Hello, Data. We are streaming currently, just so you know.
Yeah, I'm sick of Disney and that shit too. Most of it. Like 95% of it.
I'm surprised you gave Shrek a 2.
I never liked Shrek.
No, but why not give it a 1? Oh, because it got Puss in Boots
in it? I think it served a useful function in saying to Pixar, like, you can make something that's a little bit, like, edgy. You can make something for kids that isn't all, like, saccharine, schmaltzy, drowning in syrup kind of sentimentality.
No, but it goes... It's just all of the Shrek stuff is just like references to like grown up stuff, but also like the really bland Michael McIntyre grown up stuff.
That's why it's a 2. Yeah, because I agree. I don't enjoy the character or the films, or no, I don't enjoy them. But at least it's not fucking Pixar.
Shrek 1 is good.
It was okay when it came out, like as a thing, but. But it still
had
that.
I don't think you even enjoyed it when it came out. But yeah, I think Shrek can be defended.
Shrek 1 on its own, imagining that the sequels don't exist, can potentially be defended.
I've never seen the sequels. Maybe that helps.
Yeah, because it's
after seeing Shrek, I was like, why would I watch more of it?
Well, haven't you got Shrek 2 here?
No.
Yeah, you got Shrek 2. You gave him that a 2.
Oh, really? Well, I've never seen that, so that must have been.
Maybe it's 2004. Are you sure it's just not Shrek and you've just not accidentally clicked on Shrek 2?
Quite possibly, yeah.
What about the old Disney stuff? You know, like the 2D Hercules?
Well,
first of all, Hercules isn't the fucking old stuff. What are you talking about?
You know what I mean. It's old for today's kids.
Well, he's giving Beauty and the Beast
a
1.
It's not the '40s.
What, we're giving a 1?
A Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, yeah. I like Beauty and the Beast, honestly. Of the Disney
animated
stuff.
Sorry, you gave it a 3. You gave it a 3, sorry, Beauty and the
Beast. Yeah, because I like that one. It's all right.
Where can I see these ratings?
I will link it in chat for you.
Friendo.monster/.
I'm actually live updating. If you refresh, you'll get the update.
Oh, okay. Oh, yep, you did. Yep.
Just done it again. Hang on, I'll link it for you. I'll stick it in main chat.
Yeah.
There you go, Nader.
Easy A, you've given it a 5.
Easy A was one that I remembered really liking and rewatched it recently, and it was like, it's still good, but it wasn't as good as I remembered it to be.
Oh, okay. You've given Brooklyn Nine-Nine a 6.
I don't remember doing that.
Me and Rosie are watching it through at the moment as our sort of like thing
okay.
that sees, you know, like.
The elephant in the room is it is pure fucking propaganda, right?
That's the elephant in the room, yes.
That's the elephant in the room. But, and also it's got, there's some characters that I fucking loathe, and there's some like Andy Samberg style humor that I really don't like.
Yeah.
But the captain is fucking amazing.
He's amazing.
His portrayal of that character and the way he, like just the way he delivers it is it that pulls it above. Because I hate, how far have you got into it?
Oh, like first season. Like,
okay, because there's a couple of side characters that are fine as side characters, but then they start getting the same screen time later on as the main characters, and because they're the kind of thing that works in that kind of sitcom as a side character. When you take it and make it a main character, it's too it doesn't have enough dimension to it, and it's fucking irritating.
Yeah,
so Boyle.
Not enough depth to the character, or
to do anything interesting. With.
The American Office did a lot of that.
Unbearable.
Like, Creed was a great side character.
Yes.
But whenever he got any kind of focus, it was always like... Because the thing is, he was kind of like weird and dodgy.
Yeah.
And a bit like of a thief or whatever, like a bit like sneaky or whatever.
Yeah, which is fun as a background thing.
Yeah. But then you've got to flesh that out into a full character and it just becomes untenable.
Yeah, you ruin it. Yeah.
You know, it was a good side or spin-off, Frasier.
Yes. Yeah, no,
I enjoy
it. It's too middle class for you, Drew. Too middle class for you is Frasier.
Yeah, it's so fucking bougie. Like, I would rather watch Cheers than Frasier.
No,
but that's the point. The point of the show.
But I do think
Frasier's an idiot.
He is, but it's such middle class sensibilities to the humor.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's good, and it's aged a lot better. Like, you go back to Cheers and look at some of the old jokes.
That's probably fair. Yeah. I've thought about rewatching Frasier. I might give it a rewatch and see what I think of it. Because as a kid, I was always like, that made me laugh, but also made me uncomfortable because it's so fucking busy.
Oh, you know, they actually restarted it, or they've made a new Frasier now.
No, yeah, I haven't seen that. Won't watch it. No. Yeah, there needs to be a law about this. Do you know? I've been thinking about writing a manifesto, and that would be,
if it gets the new generation.
Before you shoot Keir Starmer.
Yeah, of course.
Make sure you send the manifesto to a few people.
Yeah. Well, I'll put it on the website.
I'll send it to Sky News.
Before you shoot him.
Yeah. It'll be on the website. The website will be up, you know. Be a little download. Download as a PDF.
I've got a defense of doing new spin-offs. If it gets the new generation to get interested in the older...
No, I don't care. No, make new stuff for the new generation. Like, that was new stuff for us back then. They can still watch that. No, I don't like that whole... No, stop making fucking... Stop repeating. Just make new stuff. We used to make new stuff. Make new stuff.
Okay. Well, how about this? Releasing old movies again on the movie in the cinema.
Oh, they do that.
I'm fine
and
with
it's
that.
Good.
Yeah,
I saw Back to the...
Anything,
I saw Back to the Future at the cinema last year. It was great.
Did you really? Oh,
yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
I did love Back to the Future when I was young. But it was also the site of my first severe panic attack was in the cinema. It was actually during the adverts before Back to the Future. I had my first full-on panic attack.
Did you stay for the film or did you manage to get out of there?
Yeah, I went to the bathroom, splashed some cold water on my face. I didn't know, because I didn't know it was a panic attack. I didn't know what was happening. I just thought there was something weird wrong with me. But then it calmed down and went back and watched the movie and really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you've given Cube a 7.
Watched that recently. Katya, my ex, was very fucking into those films. And she's been asking me to watch it for about 20 years or however long I've known her. And finally got around to it the other month. Watched it with her and So it's a bit, biased by her, how much she loves it. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was fine.
Okay. Also,
I was thinking.
I've seen National Treasure Book of Secrets, but why did you give it a 7?
It's not as good as the first one, right? That needs to be said. I love the first National Treasure film. I think it's a really good. It's the perfect like family adventure film.
Yeah.
Like the whole family can go and watch it, or it can be on TV, or whatever, and everybody's going to enjoy it. It's lighthearted, enjoyable, blah blah. With a little bit of like, I like history stuff as well. I like, you know, mystery solving with the clues and stuff. It feels a bit artificial, but love it. The second one is an inferior version of that, but it's still got the core stuff enough that I still enjoy it. The ending's fucking stupid. It's a bit more silly, but I still enjoy it.
I can't even remember what.
Which one did we watch on stream recently? The first one, right?
Well, we watched both of them. I don't know which. So the second one is when the City of Gold is in the Black Hills in Dakota. And then at the end, there's all these like Tomb Raider-style puzzles with water coming into the rooms and stuff. And it's a bit over the top. But
I only saw the first one then. I thought it was decent.
The first one is a lot better.
Yeah, it's great.
It's got Diane Kruger in it. So that's
Who is like her nose is exquisite.
Her is exquisite.
I've not even noticed the rest because I'm just transfixed by her beautiful nose.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. I'm interested. I'm surprised you gave Zombieland a 5.
As in you think it would be lower or higher?
I think you would have made it lower because you've given Mean Girls a 5 and Zombieland a 5.
Yeah, I like Zombieland. It's enjoyable, but the certain bits that I don't like the whole thing with what's the name of old comedian who is known for having a straight face? Dude who's in Ghostbusters. Bit in it. Bill Murray, where it becomes a bit like celebrity worshipping and stuff. I'm like, but like it's an enjoyable film.
I sometimes really dislike Dan Murray, and I sometimes like him.
You mean Bill Murray?
Well, I recently rewatched. So as a kid, as a young kid, I used to love the film Tootsie, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Are you familiar?
Not bad.
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman. But I've been fearful of rewatching it because it was made in 1982 and it deals with gender and cross-dressing. And I was like, there's no way that I'm going to watch that now and not feel horrible.
Yeah.
I actually rewatched it the other day and it still fucking holds up. It's a very good film. It deals with gender in a genuinely like open and interesting way. It's not poking fun at any particular, you know, blah 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 blah. Really good film. Also, it's the only film I've seen for a very long time where I didn't hate Bill Murray because he plays the flatmate and he plays him really well. He's one of those people who just has a thing and he just does that thing and it's like, you can't just keep.
Have you seen the movie What About Bob or something with him?
Yeah,
I think that's when I started to really dislike him.
But
he's really good at being that character. So you know,
He's like Jack Black now, where half the time when he's in something, the joke is that it's him, and that's all the joke is. The joke is it's Bill Murray.
Oh, he did that in Space Jam.
I've never seen Space Jam.
Literally does that.
Murray
just shows up and he's like, oh, it's Bill Murray. And then there's a bit of hero worship and he saves the day. It just comes in. It's Bill Murray. No, fuck off.
He
was good in Caddyshack, though.
Because I find him a bit distasteful. Like, I loved him as a kid. Like, as a 7-year-old, like, he's a funny man. He's very funny. He doesn't care about anything. But, like, also, the 80s way of being like the funny asshole, I think, is a bit uncomfortable now.
Yeah.
The misanthropic kind of. Yeah, go on, sorry.
Yeah. You're giving Leon the Professional, a 3.
My eyes just fell on that one. I find that hard to justify. It's a film that I watched and was like, that's okay. And I've not thought about in the intervening 40 years. You know what I mean?
I watched it when I was younger, and I really enjoyed it, and I haven't seen it in a long time, and I do wonder if it's going to hold up.
I watched it when I was younger, and then I watched it last year, and it really disturbed me.
Oh.
It disturbed you?
Yeah, because it's just, you know, when you're a kid, you don't think about the whole age gap difference as much.
Well, I mean, it wasn't. Like, there was no, like, romantic or sexual component to it. They were just, like, friends.
It was close.
I think that's really.
Natalie Portman has a crush on him, but I think that's really.
Yeah, that's like,
Yeah, but the way that they interact is just kind of inappropriate for an adult and a kid.
I don't know. I think people have become weird about intergenerational friendships. And as somebody with many intergenerational friendships, I find that upsetting.
Maybe. I mean, there is that. You have these, you have your references that to other things you've know about in life, and especially after Me Too.
Well, yeah, but,
Or maybe not Me Too so much, but,
but there was no Me Too about it at all. So it's, I think applying a thing, because a thing exists in the world, applying it to a thing where that thing is not the thing seems a bit weird.
Also, the character was based on his wife.
But I don't care. I didn't know that watching the film. How would I know that? I don't care.
No, I know. It's Luc Besson, the director. He married, he was 30 and she was 14 or 16 or something like that.
I mean, that's weird, but,
Yep.
Also, you've put The Great Escape at 8.
That's a very good film.
I always felt it was a little bit too long and they focus a little bit too much on what happened when they got out.
It is very long.
I enjoyed it. It's a good film.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I can see what you mean for sure. Yeah.
I was interested in and it was the same when I read the book. The life inside the prisoner of war camp was it's just really interesting to read and learn about. And
yeah,
once they got out, it was just a bit, I don't know.
I like prologues generally. It disturbs me when films don't have prologues, and that's just a very extended prologue. It's also, I watched it. In Britain, it used to be the film that was on every Christmas. So yes. I've watched it from a very young age, many times. And what's the name of the blonde American actor in it? The baseball.
Steve McQueen.
Yeah, as a kid, I was very much that's the kind of cool I want to be. Like,
wasn't he the American version of James Bond?
No. I don't know, but just in this particular film, he's just very sort of carefree. Like when they keep locking up, he's yeah, doesn't bother me. And clearly it does, but he's hiding it from them. I was that's cool. That's my kind of call.
I think the character, the real life character he's supposed to be based on is Welsh.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I heard that somewhere. I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it was. Yeah. They made a movie of Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
Yes. God. Yeah, I've not watched much of the not movie. I've watched a few episodes. It seemed quite funny, and I watched the movie, and it was quite funny.
Okay.
Actually,
it's very. He's a celebrity cameo, but they do interesting things with the celebrity cameos. I was not familiar with it as a thing until I saw the film, and I was just I gave it a go, and enjoyed it.
Oh, What We Do in the Shadows? That's a 5. Yeah, no, the season I'd much preferred over the film.
Yeah, the film was. I think even the film, very funny. The writing was very fucking funny. Some very funny ideas in there. But it felt, even a film felt like a bit too much of it for me. It felt like a sketch. It felt like a sketch drawn out to a feature length. I think it would have made a very good short film, and that would have been enough for me. I don't need any more of that.
Yeah.
I feel that Taika Waititi can be a bit much sometimes.
He's really gone. Yeah, I don't. It's recent.
Maybe it's
stuff,
recently, but
yeah.
I've seen the show. I really liked Our Flag Means Death. I thought that was cracking.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, no, I like that a great deal. Yeah.
Although he didn't write that, he just acted in it, right? Did he? I don't know.
No, I thought he wrote it. I thought he wrote it.
Okay, yeah.
Have you seen what's it called? The one he made that's set in New Zealand, where this young boy, again, it's an intergenerational friendship thing. Actually, it's what's his face out of Jurassic Park makes friends with a young boy, and then they sort of go on an adventure.
Is that
something
the one
like the Wilder People or something like that?
I've heard of it. I know which one you're referring
that
to.
That one was very enjoyable. It's more grounded than what he usually does, and I enjoyed it.
Didn't he make one about Hitler too? It's like a
yeah, I think so. Is that Jojo Rabbit?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've not seen that one
either.
Yet. I'm a bit tired of his shtick at this point. He's another one who needs to. I get that now. Do something, develop.
Like the other guy in that movie. Forget his name. He's from Flight of the Conchords.
I don't. Yeah, not much.
He's just really dry.
See, Flight of the Conchords. The problem with Flight of the Conchords is it's comedy music.
Two things I'm not sure I like.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You don't. You're not a big comedy kind of guy, are you?
I like comedy. It's always the same with art, same with poetry. Comedy, I think, is in that category. It's fun when it's in other things, but like the idea of stand-up comedy to me, like here's a person who's going to be funny for the next hour, is weird. Like I need it in a narrative or in something. Like I need it wrapped in something. I can't just laugh at jokes for a fucking hour. I mean, I can't. This situation where I can the stand-up comedy that I like, but. You know what I mean? It's an odd thing to do.
The way that you describe it sounds absurd. Like stand-up comedy sounds absurd, yeah. Right?
Well, the thing is, that's how I feel. After 20 minutes, I'm like tired of laughing, and I'm like, this is funny, but I can't laugh anymore. I'm knocked out.
I've only been to maybe a handful of stand-up comedy gigs that are live, mm-hmm. and I've enjoyed every single one of them immensely.
Yeah. It's different to see it live, I think.
There are stand-up things that I enjoy,
for sure.
I don't know if you actually end up getting the benefit of the live experience.
It's something to do with the vibe, seeing it with a crowd of people.
It's fun.
When I watch any comedy, it's more funny if there's other people there.
I mean, laughing is, yeah. I mean, if I watch a stand-up comedy on my own, alone, like I laugh a little bit. But if I'm watching with a group of people, laughing is a social expression to a lot of
people. You get affected by the mood.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I think it's just that laughing is a social thing. So if there's nobody else in the room, you'll go like, uh-huh.
No, that's what I mean.
You know, you may laugh a couple of times, but it's involuntary.
But it's
a communication.
No, I definitely laugh more when I go to see it live. But does that? But I don't know if I enjoy it more. I don't know.
Not that it's any more or less funny. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you vocally laugh more, but I don't think that necessarily means it's more funny.
Well, actually,
it's more intimate, you're part of this stage presence.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're just watching it on a screen, you feel a bit more.
I've never particularly felt that, and I never. There's nothing like live music. Like I know people read. I never got it. I never got anything from it.
Not
just because I don't like music. This is music that I do like. You know, but I was just like, I'd rather just be listening to this in my bedroom. It's more comfortable.
Sometimes I'm in the mood for it, and I don't the way that you're describing it, it seems logical and agreeable, but like as someone that's not a big music guy,
but the exceptions were like folk music I would include jazz in that, like anything that's I don't know what distinction to make, but like folk type music, include folk music from various countries or jazz or blues, something like that. And classical live is a different experience.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, classical live is a different experience. Yeah. And I'm putting opera in that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd include opera in that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, whatever fucking speakers you got, they cannot replicate what an orchestra feels like in person.
It's a little bit like you can't record the sound of rain.
Like, it's just, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
If you listen to a sound recording of rain, you'll after a while notice that it's actually just fuzz. It's just audio fuzz.
Yeah. 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 Some of the best classical music. Like I've been to big venues to see classical music, and I've also been to relatively small old like medieval churches with a wooden floor, and that wooden floor plus a classical orchestra, like the music is coming up through you. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I was on the paper, I was just palmed off on this story about a local artist having a memorial after a year after his death, and his family were coming from like all four corners of the globe to just come in for this memorial thing. And I thought, okay, show up, write some bits and pieces, talk to some people, yada yada, article, go. But it turns out this artist, like his family and his like step family, were all like insanely high achieving artists. Like there was someone there from the Prague Symphony Orchestra, there was someone that worked on like The Lion King, that was coming out around that time, and they were working on the Lion King soundtrack. And every single member of this family was just like an insanely talented like musician. It was just like, and then they had some string quartets, they had a little bit of cello, there was some blues and jazz. All of it was just like, it moved me as much as any bit of music could ever possibly move someone. It was in this creaky old ballroom in Monmouth, and it was a very small venue, but it was pretty packed, and it it's an experience that I'll never forget, and I don't think I'll ever experience again, because it's a, like with musicians of that
coming together of Yeah.
It's like the there was obviously a strong personal element to it being a memorial, but then you also got the talent of the people in such a small venue with the wooden floors. It's like an old ballroom that like people get married in and stuff. It's like all of those things combined, and it was just it was all so breathtaking. And I say this as someone that's not particularly fussed on music, like it was just
You know what? The more I talk about and think about my relationship with music with various people and thinking about it alone, I think what I'm beginning to realize is that when I say I don't like music, because I love classical music, I can really enjoy jazz, I can love a lot of traditional folk music. I think what I don't like is popular music, pop music, you know, whatever. A bit afterwards, but 40s, 50s onwards, when you know records become a thing and the kind of music that is made for records and to be played on the radio, I think that it feels compared to folk, jazz, and classical, it feels very unsophisticated. It feels like comparing adverts to a movie.
Yes, that's interesting. Actually, I've never looked at it that way, but. Music, because like a lot of music, even music like you go and see a popular music, Taylor Swift or something live, she's still performing music that was primarily designed for CDs, streaming.
It's designed to be bite-sized, emotionally very unsubtle, just very like the kind of baroque. Baroque is a period in classical music, so I don't want to confuse those two. But it's very, again, like adverts. Like adverts are. You know, there's some very good adverts that do their job very well, and you watch them, and you're like, "That's a good fucking advert."
Do you know what happened to make music like that? You know, capitalism.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, it is music as product, as consumable, bite-sized product, rather than something a bit more ambitious, a bit more high. Because I'm including folk music in this, so it's not about it's not a class thing, but it's you know striving to something a bit higher than just you know whatever fucking. The Beatles were doing, aren't they?
Yeah.
It feels more like a product.
Yeah.
And less of a narrative story.
One thing narrative, I don't think it's necessarily narrative, but less something.
Less of a true expression, right? Like
performance.
Yeah, less of a performance. Unless,
I mean, you know, classical music, pre-Baroque, like it was an art pre-Baroque. Was very much just an expression of virtuosity and cleverness. And you can feel that. You can feel how the way these fucking sounds relate to each other is so fucking intricate. There's so many levels and layers to it that it's like, it's a puzzle for your brain and it's delightful. Whereas popular music, say pop music, you think like, popular music, recorded music, whatever. Never done that for me. You know, maybe the odd instance now and then, but like broadly speaking, never
made
me.
What about stuff like Marvin Gaye? I mean, after his Motown.
Yeah, I like Motown. I very much enjoy Motown. Yeah, but it feels very. It's nice in the way that a McDonald's burger is nice compared to, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's still unsophisticated.
Yeah.
I guess it's simpler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely. Yeah, you're definitely onto something there where it's. Because also some of
it's not like a snobby thing because like I say I'm including like traditional folk music and just there's an honesty to it as well. There's an honesty to it and a striving to express something about shared humanity blah blah blah
because also there is newer music that I do listen to on occasion but it's just randos on YouTube you know and it's not and like is a weird way of thinking about it because sometimes I listen to music I don't know what's his name? The guy that shot Reagan. Is it Hinckley?
I think that was Lennon. Reagan.
I know who you mean. Yeah, you have actually mentioned this before. So yeah, I know the dude you mean, but I can't remember his name. But yeah, that sounded really interesting.
Yeah, like he's just John Hinckley. Isn't he the guy that shot Reagan?
You did. Yeah, you did talk about him on a preview. Reagan, but that was. Clearly, he was mentally ill, and he got some treatment, and now he's just like making music or something, right?
It's not music that I'd go out and listen and buy, but like I listen to it because it's I don't know, like the story behind it is just so wild and interesting.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, yeah, for sure.
And so I listen, you know, but like random shit on YouTube, that sort of still does something for me because they're just doing random shit on YouTube. They're not they're not. It's not run through a market.
Yeah, that makes it feel like it's like a human. The parasocial thing kicks in. It's like if your friend was like, "I've got this interesting story, and I've written this song." You're like, "Oh, that's cool."
Yeah, yeah. Also, Hamish says that Mark Chapman killed Lennon.
I was going to say something distasteful, but I buttoned
my mouth. Please say something distasteful.
No, this
finish the fucking job.
Oh God!
Oh wow!
Nobody can like McCartney now, surely.
I mean, I never liked the Beatles.
I don't mean his music, just as a human being. Like he's revolting.
I mean, the only
I never liked him as a human, but I liked his music.
I like Yoko. I met Yoko Ono. She was cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I was doing art in Liverpool, and she still kept, you know, she was arty, and she was, you know, did Liverpool stuff. But yeah, she had a gallery opening of her work, and I went to it, and she was there, and spoke to her, and she gave me a what we call a badge, what Americans call a button. There was a picture of her vulva.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So I wore that very proudly.
Was that
she's got yeah, the chat with her, and she's really cool.
Was her art any good?
It's not my cup of tea, but for what it was, yeah, it's, you know, nicely done, yeah.
Okay. Also, just so Ringo Starr is my favourite Beatle, and he put up a video on YouTube some time ago, which I'll put in the freebooters chat in the own cast. Where he talks
I love that you're just doing essentially musical terrorism by saying Ringo is my favourite Beatle.
Musical, but he is, but not because of his music, because of that video, that one video that I put in the
okay,
chat.
Okay, I'll have a look at that.
Yeah,
and also he's in The Simpsons.
Oh right, okay. Well, that's not necessarily worked.
I think for me, like I just don't like their whole what they're doing. But George Harrison seemed to me to be the one with talent.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ringo's not the one with the talent. In fact,
no. You injured. Also, he did Thomas the Tank Engine. He did that. Very
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. Classic. Yeah, yeah. But no. Was it someone like Paul McCartney or someone said that Ringo wasn't even the best drummer in the Beatles? All right. Anyway, I've got an idea.
Okay.
Should we call this a freebooters episode, and then I'll just like cut the recording off, and then we'll send it out the door.
Oh, have you recorded it? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're
yeah,
streaming it, yeah. So it's sort of like the stream gets recorded by default. But
oh yeah, cool. Because we've literally not fucking moved one step in the game.
No,
not a single. I said I'd like about an hour in me, and we've just talked for 2 hours instead. Which is
yeah. Oh, sorry, I didn't know that it was recording.
Oh no, you're our guest.
No, yeah, you go. Yeah. Anybody's welcome in here. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. More than no, welcome. Congratulations, you've made onto
Freebooters.
You made
some interesting points and stuff. Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
But all right, I'll.
What do you say when somebody's there for the first time? Introducing
Hello?
NATO welcome. To the Freebooters audience.
All right. NATO yeah. No, because I
is from Norway. We have in the Discord. We've got two Scandinavians, and they're both from Norway. And I've never met a single person online from Norway in my life before. I've met loads of Swedes. And I find it weird that the two people in Discord are Norwegian and not a Swede inside.
Sorry, Nader. Is your accent a Norway accent? A Norwegian accent?
No.
No?
My English accent?
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's my mother tongue. Basically, my dad's Iranian, my mom's Norwegian, and we've always spoken English at home.
Okay. I'm just like, yeah.
Oh, you've always spoken. Oh, I didn't know that part. You've always spoken English at home.
Yeah.
Oh,
didn't actually learn Norwegian until I was probably like 4 or 5.
You do sound Norwegian to me though. Because 8 is also Norwegian, and your accent seems similar to his.
I mean, I don't know really what my accent is because I've lived in the US. I've
You're
lived
right.
in Norway, so it's
yeah. See, I'm just trying to place
I'm
it.
To.
Like, it almost sounds a little bit like sort of South African. Like very softly, like there's not a strong accent there, I don't think.
No, it's not hugely accented. Yeah, how uncomfortable are we making you right now?
Yeah, sorry, mate.
No, that's interesting. I've never been thought about South Africa.
Okay, good. I just wanted to check. We weren't. Yeah.
As long as I'm not an Afrikaner. No offense to anybody that is Afrikaner.
What do I hear in it? I think I just hear you're Norwegian, but man, that might could well be just because I know you're Norwegian. Because yeah, I mean, you don't have much of an accent at all.
But then I don't think
I mean, we
I
all
know
have
what
that. You know,
I'd
say that
like.
As an English person. in when you, yeah.
I never really thought of myself as having a Norwegian accent, but maybe I do.
It might be. Eight isn't
particularly. He's more accented than you, but he's not particularly accented either. So yeah, maybe I don't have a strong grasp on what a Norwegian accent.
I'm not sure how strong your accent is, Drew, to be honest.
Well, I mean, we all have accents. We're coming very much from a middle of England / Wales point of view, right? As to what is or isn't an accent. But
I don't have much of a Welsh accent, unfortunately.
No, but we both have a similar sort of neutral
middle England, yeah.
Middle.
Well, a Midlands accent, I guess. Is it Midland, vague, like a soft?
Well, yeah, no, the thing is, I don't know. I don't really have a Midlands accent. Like when I went to university, my accent just fell away very quickly. Well, when I was like eight and I moved here from Stoke, this is another thing about Britain, you move 30 miles and it's got a completely different accent.
Yeah.
But I moved here from Stoke. And in Stoke, when I was a kid, I said Book and Luke. That's a Stoke, part of the Stoke accent, right? And the kids
like
here
to have
bullied
a Luke
the shit
if you're
out
Duke.
Of me. Exactly. The kids here bullied the shit out of me for that. So that fell away very quickly.
Book Skywalker.
Book Skywalker. I'd like to have a Luke at your Book, Luke Skywalker.
Having my looky, my bookie.
Luke at me book.
You got some really nice books there.
Boobs.
But anyway, yeah. All right. Well, happy freebooters, everyone. And
happy freebooters to all who celebrate.
All right. Ta-da!